Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Ishmael Khawaja.
Welcome along and thanks for downloading today's podcast, a run-up of all the top stories across Kent for you. Now first up, health bosses in the county are urging families to celebrate Halloween at home this year. Both KCC and Medway Council say trick-or-treating will put households at risk of coronavirus. That's despite Downing Street suggesting the tradition can go ahead as long as people stick to social distancing. A spokesman for the Prime Minister says people should use common sense in ensuring they're following the rules where they live. Well, to get more on this, I've been chatting with Lauren, who's the senior reporter for our My Kent Family website.
So, Halloween, a major tradition for families and children. Can we go trick-or-treating this year in Kent? What's the guidance?
Well, it's a complicated one, I think. Number 10 were asked about Halloween and trick-or-treating rules yesterday and were told that it will be dependent on your local restrictions and the ones that are in place under the new government three-tier rules. The rules are there for all circumstances, said Downing Street, and people will have to use their common sense in ensuring that they follow those rules. However, both the public health directors for Kent County Council and for Medway Council have come out this morning and asked residents and parents if they would kindly keep their children at home. So it's a little bit of a confusing one.
What do you make of that from Downing Street? To use our common sense is the term, and it's a term we've become accustomed to. We've heard it before. What do you make of that type of guidance, which is somewhat conflicting, as you pointed out, with the guidance here in Kent from our health director?
Yes, it has conflicted with the guidance from health directors. I think that it's a very vague response, and I think it relies on families knowing really what is allowed and what isn't. And what they're saying for a county like ours, which is that the rule of six will imply indoors and outside. You must follow social distancing. You can only meet family and friends in groups of six or less and use a face covering indoors where the 2 metre social distancing may not be possible to apply. So looking at it that way, that would suggest that if you want to take your children out and knock on people's doors and you don't step foot over their front door and into their house, then you probably are okay. But like KCC said, they think that it will place people at risk of coronavirus and also risks pushing up the rate of infection, which is, I think, that their biggest motivation for asking people to stay at home is to try and keep us in the tier that we're in and not see us subjected to stricter rules.
It was just last week, Andrew Scott-Clark, the public health director for Kent, was warning that COVID cases are on the rise. And what we do now will determine how we can celebrate Christmas, which isn't actually that far away now. So how important this weekend, when, of course, families and children will be particularly keen to celebrate such a major tradition, that we do remain sensible, we stick to the guidance, we follow social distancing?
Yeah, I think it's difficult. They have said our infection rate, obviously, at the moment it's what we think about 52.8, but that is up 9%. And we know we've got particular areas like the Isle of Sheppey that are seeing, rapid rises and an increase in that infection. I think it's difficult when it comes to Halloween. Obviously, you can go out and wander the streets with your children in groups of six or less. But then you knock on somebody's door, they answer the door. Are you closer than 2 metres as you sort of stand on that threshold, possibly? And then you have the issue of, obviously, the reason that children knock on doors is to collect their sweets and treats. Now, do you pass those over by hand? Do you throw them? Do you, toss them so that the children can collect them in a bucket? Is there a risk with, contamination from somebody that you don't know passing something to you and you taking it in your hand? We talk about washing hands. We tell children to wash hands a lot, obviously, in schools. Each time they eat or they go for a break or lunch or a fruit snack or something, they're sent to wash their hands in case they've touched something before they put it in their mouth. So it's a bit of a grey area, isn't it? When you're taking sweets from a stranger's household and then, even if you're taking them by hand and you can't, and you're maintaining as best you can a 2 metre or 1.5 metre social distancing, what do you then do with those sweets once they're in your bag? Do you let your children open them? Is that something to be careful of? I think it is very difficult, and playing a part in not only what Kent wants you to do, which is to keep the infection rate down across the county so that Christmas and, tougher restrictions are kept at bay, but also, within your own home, what do you risk bringing back indoors?
So what are some ways that we can actually still celebrate in a safe way and adhering to the COVID guidance?
Yes, that's right. James Williams, who is the public health director for Medway Council, says that Medway has put together a long list of things that it hopes families might take on board instead of trick-or-treating this year. And they've popped those onto their website to give families some ideas for a Halloween party. And they're things like watching a spooky movie or you know, picking a Halloween-themed film, maybe having a pumpkin carving competition amongst members of your family, a Zoom Halloween quiz, if we're all brave enough to go back to the days of, you know, Zoom quizzes on a Friday and a Saturday night, or a fancy dress competition, or the other one that they suggest is a scavenger trail, where parents sort of take it upon themselves to maybe do some sort of trail around the house or around the garden, where kids can sort of get out and hunt for sweets, but you're not risking that contamination issue that you are if you start knocking on strangers' doors.
Staying with COVID news, and the number of people who've died with the virus in England and Wales has risen for the sixth week in a row. Official figures show 670 deaths were registered in the 7 days to October the 16th. That's the highest since the middle of June, and it's a jump of 53% on the previous week. Here in Kent, Gravesham now has the second highest coronavirus infection rate. Swale is still top with 116 cases per 100,000 people, and Gravesham has 91. More than 1,200 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in the week to last Wednesday.
Kent Online News.
Next today, a 69-year-old man has died after being hit by a car in Medway. The road was closed for 12 hours after it happened on Four Elms Hill in Chattenden yesterday evening. A 39-year-old man from Rochester has been arrested in connection with the collision. Police are appealing for witnesses. A man's pleaded not guilty to the attempted murder of a woman on a Canterbury housing estate. Linda Smith had to be taken to a London hospital after being stabbed in Riverview in Surrey last month. 23-year-old Reid Gawler, who's from the same area, has been remanded in custody and is due to go on trial next May. Helplines being set up for children in Kent who might be going hungry this half term. Boris Johnson's been under pressure to extend free school meals over the holidays, but insists his government's already doing everything it can to support disadvantaged youngsters. Now, the County Council are offering £15 food vouchers for children in low-income families. Tracy Charlick and Sarah Wilkinson, who volunteer for the Gillingham Street Angels, are handing out emergency parcels. They're worried more people are going to need help.
The government should have carried on giving free school meals because of the COVID, because the parents are struggling, and it's unfair that the children are struggling as well. I mean, we do give out a lot of food every single day, and I have found, as I say, just the first day today, it has been a lot more. It is sad. I think it's really, really sad that you can't afford to feed your family. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? That's why people use us.
Definitely, since half term started today, it's been a lot more busier for the children. We always give out cereals, ready meals that are cooked. We had a lady out there, and she did actually sit out there for about an hour and a half in her car, and I walked past. She asked me if I worked here, and I said yeah, and she said she was so nervous that she couldn't get out of the car to come and ask for a bit of food because she had never done it before.
Kent Online News.
In other news, a Dartford man who was caught with a sawn-off shotgun and 40 cartridges has admitted possessing a firearm. Tyler Tanner was seen getting into a white van in Longfield with a carrier bag in June. Police followed the vehicle to Mepham and found the weapon when they stopped it. The 23-year-old from Henderson Drive will be sentenced in December. Now, if you live in Offham near West Morling, you're being urged to look out for chickens on the loose. Up to 30 birds were found abandoned on the green last Wednesday evening, and the RSPCA only managed to catch 11 of them. They're investigating and want people to call them if they see any more in the area. Preparations are underway for Remembrance Day events in Kent, which will be going ahead next month despite the pandemic. Parades that usually take place in areas like Maidstone, Medway and Canterbury have been cancelled, and ceremonies are being scaled back to make them as COVID-safe as possible. You can find out what's happening in your area on our website. Now, the producer of Gravesend's socially distanced panto is hoping it'll bring some much-needed festive cheer.
Well, originally we had planned Aladdin for this year, but obviously due to social distancing and the amount of people that were involved with that show, because obviously the big scenery, lots of different places going to, like the Cave of Wonders and flying carpets. We needed around 6 or 7 crew backstage to run it. So social distance-wise backstage, just trying to keep it to a minimum and making sure everyone's safe. we decided to change the title just for this year to Rapunzel, which we've done before around 5 years ago as a national tour. And it involves a lot of less set in it, and also a back projection. So we can go anywhere we want without having to have someone upstairs bringing cloths in and out. And it also means the cast on stage can move props on and off stage and keep backstage to a minimum. So that's basically why we've changed the title. And we just wanted to bring fun and laughter to families this Christmas, and just to forget about what's happening for an hour and a half, and hopefully go home just feeling a bit more, you know, a bit more Christmassy as well, because obviously at the moment I don't feel Christmassy, and when I see stuff in the shops I think, oh god, you know, it fills me with a little bit of sadness as well. And I think we need a little bit of enlightenment and a bit of fun to feel Christmassy again, so I'm delighted to be able to have the opportunity to do it.
Tom Swift is part of the team behind Rapunzel, which will be on at the Woodville Theatre from December the 11th. It's been written specially to conform to the current coronavirus guidelines, and there will only be half the usual audience capacity. You can see pictures and video of the cast on our website. And finally, Michael Bublé is hoping to come to Kent as part of his UK tour next summer. He's due to perform at the Spitfire St Lawrence Cricket Ground in Canterbury on July 10th. It could hold 20,000 people if coronavirus restrictions are lifted by then. Tickets go on sale on Friday morning.
Kent Online Sport.
To football now, and Gillingham will be hoping to get back to winning ways in League One later. They've lost their last three in a row, all 2-0, and have dropped to 14th in the table. Tonight, they're away to Ipswich Town, who are 10 places above them. Well, our sports reporter Luke Cordell has been giving us his thoughts ahead of tonight's game.
It's another tough game for Gills tonight in what is quite a busy run of games. They're playing Tuesday, Saturday for quite a few weeks now as the busy schedule takes effect. They've been playing some hard teams as well, Portsmouth, Fleetwood, teams that have been expected to be up there this season, challenging for promotion. And, Ipswich are one of them again that should be seen as one of the teams that are likely to be challenging for promotion. They were sitting top of the league a week or so ago, but they've lost two games in a row. They lost 4-1 to Doncaster. They just lost to Lincoln City as well. Gillingham themselves not in great form at the minute. Three straight defeats, all 2-0 defeats as well, so they're not scoring either. They had quite a few chances on Saturday against Fleetwood. The problem was they weren't taking them, and the management wanted to see an improvement in the team after defeats to MK Dons and Portsmouth. There were definitely improvements. They looked a lot better going forward. They created chances. They looked quite dangerous, but they couldn't take the chances. They had some really good ones as well. They hit the woodwork a couple of times, but Fleetwood got the first goal, and then that was sort of pretty much it, really. Then they scored a second in stoppage time. So Gillingham go into the game tonight with three straight defeats behind them, but they have been improving, and hopefully if they can keep improving, they've got a fairly good chance of getting a result against Ipswich, albeit against a team that spend big. They're obviously a major team in League One. They used to play top league football. They want to get promoted for the Championship. Last season, they were looking to go straight back into the Championship after relegation, but that didn't work out for them. They actually finished below Gillingham in 11th, which was a major disappointment for the team. The pressure will be on, and Steve Evans has said in his comments this week that the pressure will all be on Ipswich tonight. They're the team with the expectations, with all the money behind them, the big fan base. Everything is geared up at Portman Road for Championship or Premier League football. It's a massive task for Gillingham tonight.
Kick-off this evening is at 7, and don't forget you can follow Kent Online Gills on Twitter for regular updates. Well, that's it for today, but you can find more news over at Kent Online, and you can also subscribe to the IM News app. That will give you access to all KM Group newspapers, and to do it, just head to iliftmediasubs.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.